right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 557. I'm your host, GBD, here live at Long Island Retro. And of course, as always, I'm joined by a man who's been podcasting with me for 13 years as of last week, which is...
Too long.
That's a long time.
It is a long time.
I was thinking about that while I took a shower this morning.
I'm glad you were thinking about me while taking a shower this morning.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I mean, Shipwreck, you know, has been with us for a while too, but...
Not as long, so it doesn't count.
Not double digits, I don't think.
No, I 8 years maybe?
Yeah.
That's a long time. Something like that. 8, 9 years.
Yeah.
Also too long.
Right.
But he's here too.
Shipwreck. I am here.
Yes.
All the way from Ohio.
I was going to get into how grateful we are for Long Island Retro, not only for having us here and putting on this awesome event, but they bring Shipwreck in and they make a really fun time for us and our family to get together. It's quite special.
It is. It's really awesome. We had a lot of fun this weekend. We got to hang out on Friday night. And we got to hang out last night, like a big family dinner last night. We went to Benihana, and my son ate all the steaks, and it was a good time.
It was exciting.
It was a good time.
Big shout out again to Ryan. I guess he left now.
Yeah.
But it's really great that he puts this together. So, yeah, let's get right into show feedback from our last show.
Sure. This was where I get to read, and I have to find light. Okay. Right.
Well, this was in reference to a lot of people were talking about these Fortnite coaches that parents have been hiring for their children.
Yes.
And so people had some comments about that.
I'm not surprised. Mm. Jeff Hesser has to say, the Fortnite coaching sounded odd to me at first, but the more I thought about it, the more sense it made. I could easily see how being bad at Fortnite as a younger child might suddenly mean your friends aren't choosing to play their favorite game with you as one of their four or so in a match.
Their squad,
yes. Well, he didn't say that. That time spent could quickly be a deciding factor in whose kids bond with going forward. Or maybe even for junior high school kids, it could be an agilis to playing on a sports team, and that if you sucked out and everyone knows, you'll be picked last or not at all.
Right. See, my problem is sports are good for you in a way. And video games are supposed to be, you know, they're fun like sports, but
they're not good for you. I mean, they've been very good for you.
Remember your audience here.
I know.
I'm looking at our audience.
As a parent.
Clearly, video games are not good for you.
I know that most of our audience probably are not parents. So as a huge gaming nerd, and also as a parent, I am conflicted. I would like my son to enjoy playing video games and play games at the right time, but I don't necessarily want him to be, like, too good, because then it's going to be hard to, like, keep him under wraps and play a reasonable amount. If he's like a super good player, he's going to be really drawn to it. I don't know. I have a hard time.
But what if he goes pro?
How good are these coaches?
Yeah. Maybe he could start coaching.
I would get a coach for myself.
And then people will pay him an hourly rate.
I'd feel better about getting a coach for myself than getting – my kid should be running around. I don't know. I got him ping pong lessons. That's what a parent should really do.
Well, that's the next.
Every parent should.
That's what NDXC 2001 has to say. The guy who pays for ping pong lessons for himself and son is criticizing Fortnite coaches. Playing games takes skills which can be improved with proper training, just like sports or playing a musical instrument. If you want to take the angle of people being ripped off by someone taking advantage of the current trend, sure, but there have been bad personal coaches in all areas like tennis or golf for years. So is that? But I agree with you. I think there's a difference between Fortnite coaching and ping pong coaching, because at least with ping pong, there's some movement left and right. Yeah,
we're sweating.
You're moving.
I have a bath towel that I bring with me, and I dry off with the bath towel. That's how much sweat is produced. When I play Fortnite, there's no sweat. Well, when I play PUBG, I sweat. When I get down to like the last few.
What about this? What if these kids are the super athletic kids that are just like really good at everything else, and this is the one area that they're bad in, and their parents are trying to help them be better at video games?
More well-rounded.
Right.
Well, that's not going to help you get into college. It's not going to
– They're already in college. These kids are already – they've already got their scholarships.
They're sports scholarships.
Right, they're sports scholarships and their academic scholarships.
I was going to say these kids don't need to be good at everything.
They need to get a job and get their own – hire their own coaches.
I like that.
Okay, so not like I'm a big sports guy, but I feel good when I sweat, like I'm doing something good for my body. I have fun when I sit on the couch for 2 hours and play Overwatch, but I don't feel like I've done something good for my body.
Because you haven't.
Right. See? That's right. Speaking of sitting and not moving, let's do some Watch This Bitches.
Excellent. What have you watched?
I watched Mission Impossible Fallout.
How is it?
It was action-packed. No, it was actually – I find it's pretty hard to make a good action movie these days because either the action isn't good or the actors are bad or the story is lame. This one seemed to pull it all together. The car chases and a lot of car chases, all the stunts are really well done. And apparently Tom Cruise does his own stunts.
Yes, he does. Did you see the footage of him breaking his leg?
No.
It's super gross.
Is it on a motorcycle?
No, it was jumping from one building to another.
Yeah, he jumps a lot.
Yeah, you can watch it. I think it's on YouTube for sure, because that's where I saw it. But you can see the footage of him jumping from one building to another, and his ankle kind of hits, his foot hits, and then it goes like that, and you just see his ankle kind of split in half. It's fun. You should watch it.
I'm going to skip that.
You should. Your kids are here. You could go, like, after. Maybe we watch it in slow motion together.
TV is so violent now, I watch most of it with my hands in front of my face. I want to watch Game of Thrones.
Don't cover the mic.
I want to watch all the Netflix shows, but they're nasty.
Some of them are. Nothing. I think it peaked, though, when Daredevil, the head in a door. That was probably where it peaked for me.
Those are the series I was talking about. Yeah. Those ones in particular.
That one in particular. I've watched the – speaking of gross things, I watched the extended cut of Deadpool 2.
It's good.
It's good. I couldn't tell where the extended footage was. Yeah. Maybe it's just me, but I mean, it's still a good movie. And I feel like they changed some of the music around in the extended cut for some reasons, but –
They extended it.
Yeah. Like they had – I didn't hear the Aha unplugged version in it. Or maybe I just missed it.
You're remembering an awful lot more of that movie than anybody.
Well, I watched it. I watched it like 5 days ago. So right. It's not like it's.
I could have watched it before this, and I still would have. I would have enjoyed it, but I would not have caught if there was an Aha song.
Yeah. Oh, that was like the best part. maybe not.
So, Mission Impossible was it? I mean, there's nothing else to say, but it's a good action movie.
The story is. I mean, what else do you want from a movie like that? What do you expect?
I don't know. Do I have to see all the other
Mission Impossibles? Tom Cruise looks like he's 30 still. Like,
of course.
Does it stand a chance of winning the Oscar's new Best Popular Film of 2018?
That is. I just read about that today.
Oh, really?
That's a real and it's that's like a real thing. Actual trophy that they got.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They haven't said too many details yet. I want to say that I think if they did it like highest grossing film of the year gets a special achievement award, I get it because that's something. But is it going to be – what are they going to do? Take the 5 highest grossing or are they just going to now decide what the most popular films are? And then they vote on which of those popular movies is the best?
It'll be action movies and comedies.
It's strange. I mean, I get why they're doing it. No one watches their boring ass show anymore. Right. But –
there you go.
Yeah. Mm.
Another big news, ALF is getting a reboot, a television reboot. Yes, everybody get fired up. No problem. It's going to be, let's see, it's going to focus on, I can't even read
ALF.
This. ALF. And he's from another planet. Okay. No, I love that show. You know what's funny?
Is it a new family that he's with? Is it the same ALF?
Well, it's not going to be Max Wright.
Well, I know.
New family and characters. Alf is like now looks like an elephant.
Well, Alf only stands for alien life form. His name is Gordon Chumway. Get it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't boast. I've watched Alf.
And him now in fog form.
All right, that's it for this. Let's get to actually, there's a lot of shopping news this week. And that's sort of what the CADcast was founded on, that principle. We usually wind up not talking
might
about
have strayed
game
a little
shopping
bit from that.
Yeah, but there's a lot of interesting stuff this week. First of all, which I know is going to be important to a lot of people at this show, Nintendo's been on the offensive again, going after websites that host ROMs. And a lot of the sites have been shutting down or just changing their focus completely to avoid being sued into oblivion. So they're legally allowed to do this. They own the material, but people are concerned that these games are really a part of history, and that if you get rid of the ROMs, then people won't be able to play these games anymore. You'd have to rely on Nintendo to put them out on their whatever closed platform they have, and chances are they're not going to be putting out their entire catalog. It's just not going to happen. So there's a NYU has a big game development school, and a professor there says, I see very frequently students spinning their tires trying to solve problems that were already solved in 1985, and just as you would if you were teaching painting or music or math, what you would do as a teacher, you'd send them to the library to study the old classics to see what they did right and wrong. And that's the only way we can make progress in the sciences, the humanities, or in the creative arts. Which is interesting because, you know, on one hand, Nintendo's got a business to protect. And on the other hand, there's not a lot of money to be made at this point from...
Well, that's sort of a mix. I mean, the best-selling console of last month was the NES Classic Mini.
But that's sold with all the ROMs already out there.
That's what I'm saying.
The ROMs are true, still out there, and
true,
it's still
but
sold.
True, but I can understand why Nintendo would not want them out there if they want to sell more of these little mini consoles. And to this professor's point also, what are the games he's teaching? Is he teaching... Super Mario Brothers?
But they say it's game development.
Yeah. I'm saying to see the old classics. If he's teaching the old classics and his version of a classic is Super Mario Brothers and The Legend of Zelda.
Well, more obscure stuff.
But that's what it comes down to. Is it that he's looking to show his students the more obscure stuff? Or when he says his students need these old games as a reference, is he referring to the games that are readily available? And are there readily available classics that can fill the void of these obscure games for his teaching purposes? Basically, I'm saying this professor sounds like he's full of crap.
I don't think
he's
so.
He's sitting right there, actually. Right.
Oh, hey.
What? Why? Of course he's quoting stuff for stuff that's not readily available, or else he wouldn't have made the quote.
Yeah. I don't think he is, because what is he teaching to learn the mistakes of? An obscure game that no one remembers? There's no mistakes
Aladdin.
To be learned.
Yeah. Aladdin for Super Nintendo. That's what he's teaching. Yeah. Where does he go get that?
I don't know. Who needs it?
Agrabah.
No,
it isn't something he would need, because there are other side-scrolling platformers on the Super Nintendo that he could use as an example. He doesn't need to tell his students to go out and illegally download Aladdin just because he thinks it's important for them.
Well, he's not telling them to go download it illegally. He's saying there needs to be a way for these games to be preserved and easily accessible to everyone.
Maybe as like an institution, you could set, somebody could set up like an online museum, and you get access through it at your college or university or library or something like that. There's
dealing with those licenses, though, is not going to be. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, especially for something like Aladdin. Aladdin is really a license issue more than anything else.
This next item is sort of related, which is why, we got to get off that.
Excuse me.
It's okay. So Bethesda.
They looked riveted.
You can't see anything. It's so dark.
That's how I know.
Bethesda. Recently made news by suing somebody, or rather sending a legal
cease and desist letter
to somebody who is selling a copy of The Evil Within 2 on Amazon. In fact, the person was selling a sealed copy of The Evil Within 2, and they marked it as a new game, and apparently that's what got Bethesda's attention. And they went on, so they sent this guy a letter saying, you have to remove this game, otherwise we're going to sue you. And they even have like a process, a phone number for you to call for receiving one of these letters from their lawyers. So they went on record and they said, actually, the problem that we have is not that you're selling used games, it's that you're selling a sealed game, but you're calling it new, and we have no way to say that the game is new, or you didn't just reseal it. And we want to protect buyers, so that's what we do. We send threatening letters to people on Amazon.
Keeping everybody safe.
All those to keep everybody. Problems.
I mean, they're not wrong. It sounds like a lot of work for.
That's what I can't understand.
It sounds like a lot of work on Bethesda's lawyers' part. Like, don't they have something better to do? But
maybe instead of hiring that law firm to do this, hire more people to make.
I'm sure it's in-house
games.
Counsel.
No, that's the crazy thing. So there's a law firm that's set up. That they promote themselves as not getting rid of your
eBay and Amazon resellers, basically. Right. Your non-official sellers.
And you just hire these dudes and they go after the actual people who bought and are trying to sell your product.
Pretty great.
Yeah, that's a real. Nobody can hear you, so.
On Amazon.
Save it for later. Because you don't have a mic and. Yeah.
But thanks.
Now we're doing a show. Also in the news, GameStop has announced that their PowerUp Elite Pro membership is being shut down. But I think this is actually, it's interesting. This is all related. Because remember, Best Buy just shut down their Gamers Club on lockdown.
Oh, we know.
Are familiar with that. But this is all, basically, these are all responses to loss prevention. Because what was happening were that people would try to game the system. And actually, now they're not just people. They're people who own small mom and pop game stores. And they would buy, they would use these great membership bonuses to buy a lot of stock for their own stores and then resell them cheaper than they could buy it for anywhere else. And that's sort of what ruined it for the rest of us. Definitely with Best Buy. I mean, we had people on our website telling how they would spend like $60,000 a year at Best Buy buying games to resell in their own little indie game shop. So this is why we can't have nice things. People are ruining it for us.
So what's going to be left after games? Because is Amazon Prime going? When does that end? Or they still do that
on new releases. They keep scaling it back little by little. Mm-hmm. They slice a little bit of that Prime benefit.
If you pre-order a new release, you get the 20%, and that if you have Prime. But that's I think going to be the only thing left in a little bit, right?
I don't know what's happening. Well, this next question is sort of related from @GamingDad1643. Seems like I feel like physical games are going the way of the CD. How soon will we see 100% digital games, and will that leave the discounts on those games solely on the system provider?
This comes up a lot, and the reason why it won't happen anytime soon is because not everywhere in the country has access to reliable internet to download.
We're pretty lucky here.
Digital games. Also, there's, I mean, storage at this point, both major consoles, you could just plug and play external storage, so that's mostly resolved.
It's the broadband prices.
It's the broadband issue. It would be too difficult for someone living in, I don't know, some boondock area like Cincinnati, Ohio, to just be able to...
Right, we have real trouble getting internet. I don't think this is a big issue.
You've got plumbing, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know that this broadband is that big of a hurdle anymore. I don't think it is. I think we're getting within a decade of...
He said anytime soon. How soon will we see? Okay, so a decade.
I'm thinking not today. Yeah, but within a decade, that's sure.
Not the next series of
my
consoles.
My kids will be in college. That sounds reasonable.
But the consoles after that, it just makes sense.
Two generations from now, I'm on board. I would like to see discounts for digital, though.
Good luck. They do. They have. We have them.
They do it. Sometimes.
That's good. They did
better.
A good job.
So better.
We saw some stuff on sale. We were looking through the Xbox shop yesterday.
Yeah, I bought one of those under 10 games on PSN yesterday.
All right. Lastly, in game shopping news, this is like the most game shopping we've ever had.
Yeah, let's get through the shopping news here.
Discord is launching its own game store to compete with Steam because so many people are using Discord now just to chat.
I've been using Discord.
With their gaming friends, they decided it makes a lot of sense. They're going to have... exclusives, like timed exclusives. And Steam's going to have some competition. This is actually
competition. Steam really
it's
have?
Relevant. Well, they have so many users. That's the platforms, they don't have users. So like, you know, I can't even name any third party direct to drive it's just they don't have the users.
The Origin Store, does that count?
Well, you're forced to buy it.
Yeah, I am. All
right, let's go to new releases.
All right.
What do we got?
We have We Happy Few. That is officially out. I know that you have played that one.
I've played some of that at game.
Explain that game.
I have no idea what that game is.
It starts off really cool.
Nope, it's not going
to
be.
I know. There is no two-sentence way. It starts off really cool, and it grabs you right in where you're playing as this British guy, and you have to sort papers in this weird, dystopia government, and someone comes in and tells you have to go to a party, and then you go into the party room, and something really crazy happens. I'm not going to spoil it for anyone who plays the game. And then it just opens you up into this open world. And there are missions, but it's also, again, it's an open world kind of thing. But it doesn't really lend itself to an open world, at least not with what they want you to do.
What do they want you to do?
Basically, you're just trying to get from point A
to
point B.
Shuffle sword papers and you're British. Aren't you paying attention?
You're looking for your missing brother in the first story and also like trying to get off the drugs, basically.
Hello, where's my brother? And I'm so hard.
Where's my brother? Where are
these papers
drugs?
Now?
Yes.
Oh, shouldn't have sorted these papers.
Yeah, there you go. Now they're going to come after you. It's like – so it just – it's there's something clunky about it. It doesn't feel right, and I feel like the game would have lended itself better if it was just a little more funneled.
Who is the game journalist who posted on Twitter that he played 4 hours of We Happy Few and decided he couldn't play anymore, so he couldn't write a review, and this is not a review.
I think it was Patrick Klepek, but I'm not positive.
It was almost me.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's like eating at being a food critic. I ate at a restaurant. I got food poisoning there, so I'm deciding not to write a review of the restaurant.
Well, I mean, not 4 hours, I guess I could see. Well, 5 hours, I think he said, but whatever, it doesn't matter. I mean, I probably played about 3.5, 4 hours of the game, and I was just kind of...
Not a review.
I was whelmed.
All right.
All right, so we're on a Switch, I think. The Switch games of the week.
Prehistoric Isle 2?
That's the list of indie Switch games. Yeah. Catch 'em All Goldfish Scooping?
What?
Is that like dead goldfish?
Catch 'em All Goldfish Scooping.
Do you only get the ones that are upside down?
$8 on Switch.
That's a good price.
That is. Yeah. I think that's a fair price for that.
I don't.
It only costs you $3 to get Green.
Green.
Green. That's a game.
Yep.
Let's see what else.
Minute is out now. That's supposed to be a good game, isn't it? Don't you have
Minute's a fine game. Yeah, it's a little black and white platformer thing. Okami HD came out for Switch. That's a real game.
How many consoles has that game been on there?
All of them.
Yep.
All of them, right? That's crazy.
And that's about it for new releases. Not much this week.
Well, Dead Cells is this week?
We can talk about Dead Cells. I'll talk about Dead Cells.
Okay.
We can say that's a new release.
But you guys playing Dead Cells here at all? I mean, this is... No? Yeah. It's like Castlevania, but... It's like Castlevania, but it, you know, it's procedural. Not procedural. What's the word I'm
looking for? Yeah, it's procedural and a roguelike.
Procedurally generated.
Oh, procedurally generated.
It's a procedurally generated roguelike 2D side-scrolling.
It's like Rogue Legacy, but like if it went on the next generation of consoles from when Rogue Legacy was like kind of NES and this is like Super Nintendo.
I was thinking like, you know, as a kid, I played a lot of Castlevania, and I can't imagine if they had made a Castlevania game that every time you played it, it was a new game. Like, you wouldn't need to buy any more games in 1980.
In 1980. When did that? 87? Was that Castlevania?
But that, it's really, Dead Cells is really well done. So if you like the Metroidvania, Castlevania type games, it's $25, but it's got a lot of
games. It's easily worth it. Yeah. It's easy to get in there and play for 15, 20 minutes, The nice thing is, like, you build up your cells, which is what you're buying your currency or whatever with. And that, like, is how you get better each time through. I don't know. I could sit down and waste a couple hours with that every night.
Well, I like that you can waste, like, 15, 20 minutes with it and still make progress and feel like you didn't, you know, you got somewhere. And then
I feel like it's steep for 25.
It's well done, though.
It's really well done.
Right. It is priced. It's a premium price for sure.
Yeah,
they decided they really liked what they made.
And I have more power to them. Bucks. Yeah, it's like $5 above my. If you guys really like it, I guess I'll buy it price. But it needs to like go on sale when it's a little cheaper. For sale, I'll pick it up.
All right, now it's time for multi-platforming and Wombat's Overwatch Onslaught.
I love Overwatch.
I know you're excited about the summer games. Let's get started.
I have Cowboy Guy in the bathing suit.
Did you see him?
No, I didn't see him.
He had his barbecue.
I got Grim Reaper Guy in his lifeguard outfit. Is that one of them? No. And I have all the women in bikinis. Isn't that basically it?
Surprisingly, I don't think they have women in bikinis in this game.
Well, that's why Shipwreck doesn't have this game.
Oh. So you're maybe not right. So some big, I guess the big news in the gaming journalism sphere is this IGN reviewer got caught plagiarizing his review for Dead Cells, which we just talked about. And he got fired because it seemed pretty clear that he blatantly copied some other.
Yeah, he did the classic, just switching around the sentence structure. Like,
he got it off a YouTube video, actually.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but he
one of them.
Yeah, he did YouTube as well, right? Or
yeah,
whatever IGN videos
off
this, was.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he did. So the video review as well, but yeah, it's just the type of thing that every person tries to do once in their life, where they take something and. You're like doing a book report or like something for school and you rearrange the order of the words.
I understand that. That I totally get. Okay. You're in school. You're young. You're, you don't, you're not smart, you make a mistake, you plagiarize something. You do it, you're writing about something you don't really care about, you don't care about writing a book report. This guy got a job in reviewing games, which for a lot of people, that's like a dream, a big deal. And his reaction to getting his dream job is, I'm going to just steal reviews from other people. Like, I can't even be bothered to either to play the game. I don't know if he was he even playing the game. Well, we have no way of knowing.
We have no way of knowing that. But he claims that the reason it happened was because he likes to do a lot of research and read other reviews and watch YouTube and do all of that.
That's a bad way to criticize anything, by the way.
It's a really – like when I was writing reviews for the site like 5 years ago before my daughter was born, I would specifically not seek out other people's opinions on stuff because it filters into what you think when you're writing, whether you think it or not. But this was just – you could tell he had something open on one screen.
One tab here.
Right. Like, yeah. But he issued an apology video.
Kinda. he made a video.
He made a video that was supposed to be an apology.
It was like, there were circumstances, and I'm sorry that it happened.
He doesn't admit to doing anything.
He doesn't admit to anything.
No, he doesn't admit to any wrongdoing.
And he blamed the guy who wrote the article about him for chasing clicks. And then challenged the guy to find more instances of plagiarism. And the guy did, and he was successful. And he found like two more. And they were like clear examples. I don't know. People are weird. I don't even understand.
And then he took his video down.
And then he took the video down. That was – yeah.
Just. I don't know what the next step is there in the process. Like, you're not going to get a job in writing about video games.
No,
or,
his next step is he's going to be selling – he's going to be in sales. He's like, working at the Gap.
Even if you got caught this one time, all you have to do is admit to it, say, hey, I had some personal stuff going on. I had a deadline. Anything to just own up to it, and then you can go about like rebuilding your character and everything.
That's better than goading on the reporter who found out that you messed up in the first place.
And trying to say all reviewers do this, because that was kind of part of his video as well.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You mean all reviewers don't do it? There's not like one master review, and then they just copy.
You feel that way sometimes when you read them, but that's because the PR aspect. Like, they send you sheets of like
bullet points
and like these are the key features. Like, okay,
there's a review kit that comes
right.
With
if
the game
you're
usually.
Reviewing Madden, they're gonna tell you like bullet points of like, okay, this year we put in like no huddle offense or whatever. So every review is going to mention that they put in no huddle offense because the PR has fed them that.
Right.
So there
I did see a PR person. Did you see that on Twitter? There's a PR person who was saying, I don't want to defend the guy, but just like you said, we do send out review kits and sometimes, like, I don't know the situation here, but we do give people, like you said, bullet points, and sometimes that gets regurgitated. But that would have been something to mention in the video when you're making your apology video.
Yeah, this wasn't the case there.
Yeah, no.
These seem similar, but they're not. These were the PR talking points I received, and I'm sure this guy received the same PR talking points and then actually listed out and build a case for your own defense. Sure. But that also would require work and effort that clearly this guy didn't want to do.
I can't get over that he goaded on the reporter to get him to go after him more. But anyway, also in multi-platforming – I played the Call of Duty Blops 3 beta before we came here.
I watched you play that.
I have never felt worse at a video game than I did playing that. I killed – in like two games, I killed one person, and Shipwreck was watching me.
Is it three or four?
It's four. It's got the logo.
I don't even know.
Yeah. All right, I'm like, I was so
many the four lines logo.
Okay.
I wrote three. I don't know. I'm just I was playing on the computer and
your kill to death ratio was like 1 to 40.
These guys, I don't know. I felt like I was shooting them in the face, but they didn't die.
So you're saying that this online only mode that they're going with for Call of Duty this year, no single player. This is like going to be your fine factor now.
The best thing was,
because you're so good at it.
After I finished and did so bad, like, you know, there's an in-game announcer. And what did he say? He said,
looks like you might have some buyer's remorse. It's like, really? Like, you're putting that in your game?
In the beta.
When you get killed?
In the beta.
Yeah, in the beta.
Like, I'll just save the $60. I know it's going to be embarrassing if anybody watches me play this.
I mean, but is that it, though? I mean, do you now know? Like, were you enjoying your failure?
No.
That's what I mean.
No. The idea is that I understand I'm never going to be above like a 50% kill-death
ratio. You're never
going to
get better, but even if you were terrible but enjoying yourself, yeah. I could at least see some rationale in people buying this game.
I need at least one kill for every death.
Well, in the beta, though, you were only playing like team deathmatch. So there was like – you're either going to die or not. There's not like a lot of strategy in Call of Duty for team deathmatch.
I've never felt so completely overwhelmed.
You were doing I was getting quite like, poorly.
Yeah, it was bad. It was very bad. We did just get a first look at Red Dead Redemption 2, which is that coming out this year?
Soon. I think.
Yeah, that comes out in like
it seems like
3 months.
Really? Yeah, it's real soon. They just keep everything under wraps.
Yeah. They do a really good job at that. So yeah, so they just, you know, drip out the information. They put out the first gameplay video.
Gross.
What? Drip out? Your kids laugh. Nice. Usually
well, their offices are down on Broadway.
Did you watch the?
I did watch the 20 minutes of gameplay. I was impressed with the gameplay. I mean, it's Red Dead. It looks awesome. I know I'm probably going to buy it, but I see this is the butt part. I'm never thrilled, and I've said this probably with all Rockstar games. I never really like playing as the bad guy, and they're leaning in on this. You're a bandit and a group of bandits. And there's part of me that doesn't want to ride into town and go into a bank and kill an innocent bank teller and then punch a woman in the face and steal a horse and go back to my loot hole. That's just not what I want to do. I'd rather be the sheriff that goes into the bank and shoots up all the bandits.
Yeah, so, it's harder to make a game like that, though.
Is it harder?
Yeah.
I don't know. You could even rip off
the Don't you remember they
Ranger.
Made – what was the game? It was Acclaim? No. What was the game where it was True Crime or something?
Yeah, True Crime.
And they tried to make it like you're a cop, but you could be a good cop or a bad cop. But you're going to be running people over by accident.
You're going to be a bad cop. There's a difference between running people over by accident. That sounds so terrible. Like
it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. I'm going to run over people by accident. I'm going to kill an innocent bystander. I'm sorry, civilian. These things happen.
You're not the greatest shot.
I'm no hero. But that's different than the mission actually being go in there, kill these five civilians, and take the gold.
I get it.
And I'm not a fan of that. And if that's what this game is going to mostly be, it's kind of why I stopped playing Grand Theft Auto storylines.
He's such an angel, this guy.
I am. I'm too good a human being to want to do that.
Wow. You could be the bandit with a heart of gold, though.
That's me.
And when you punch that woman in the face at the bank, you could say, excuse me, ma'am.
Sorry, ma'am.
Sorry, ma'am.
Pardon me, ma'am.
Part of the job.
I didn't mean to kick you in the chest, but...
lady parts?
In the lady parts, yeah. In the baby maker, but I gotta get this loot because, you know, XP.
Gotta get to the game.
Gotta get that hat.
Nice.
That hat upgrade.
Have you been playing some other stuff? I know that you've finished something recently.
I did. I finished the storyline in Shadow of War. I gotta stop tapping on the table. Sorry. Yes.
On my leg.
Okay.
No. That's why I wore shorts.
I did finish the main story of Shadow of War, like the basic storyline, but I haven't captured all of the castles yet. I think I have two castles left to go. The capturing the castle game is so much more interesting than the story in that game.
You mean running around killing the
orcs? You can run around, you kill the orcs, or you can possess them to be on your side. And once you have enough guys on your side or you feel comfortable about, you know, taking out the underbosses, then you can go and take over the main boss's castle. And then you have that area. And it's a sort of warfare thing. And it has the whole nemesis system thing. You could set up your guys to ambush a guy that's not yours. So when you go to fight the guy that's not yours, another guy just comes around the corner and is like, looky here, I'm an orc. I'm going to kill that orc. And it's kind of cool.
This is the one where they took out the microtransactions?
This is the one where they took out the microtransactions.
Like a year after the game came out?
Yes. The game is so much – it's they did a good job improving that game. It's a lot of fun. You can find it super cheap. And they're coming out with that version that game of the year version is coming out really soon too that has everything in it. All the DLC and extra stuff. But now to get gear instead of loot boxes, they have these online missions, which I think were in the game before, but now they drop better loot, where you actually fight a war chief that someone else fought at some point and died. So you're basically going into their game, but you're not actually going in, like, they're not there.
You're
replaying a scenario that someone died in, and it's kind of cool. And if you successfully get that, you usually get really good loot. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's a fun game. I want to get all the castles. I'm going to keep doing that. But I also picked up in the under $10 sale, I had Dragon Age Inquisition for the PlayStation 4, played it, beat it. I just bought it digitally because I don't have any of the DLC. So now I have all the DLC for that game. I figured that's worth $10 because separately it's like $50 just for all the extra content.
So I bought that. Money on that, actually.
Yeah, so yeah. I bought that and I started playing the extra missions late last night and some more this morning. That game still holds up, Dragon Age Inquisition. That's a good game.
Good.
Yeah.
Very proud of you.
I know. It's on EA Access if you've never played it.
We've also been playing...
It's like 9 years old. But this is RetroCon, so I'm talking about playing old games.
That's what you should be doing.
I'm on topic.
Man. We've been playing Overcooked 2 mm-hmm. also, which just came out like last week or...
I played that
It came out the same week as Dead Cells.
Okay.
Also
$25. That's a really great game. If you're looking for a couch co-op game, four players, and looking to yell at your family members because they can't cut the vegetables fast enough.
That game stresses me out.
Yeah, you weren't good at it.
No, I wasn't enjoying it.
No.
I don't see what the fun is in that game.
I was very restrained, though. I didn't yell at you.
You were very good at following orders.
You told me to stand in one spot. I stood in one spot.
No, you stood in one spot, and then immediately, like, I was the one that was getting everything out and chopping it.
For the easiest job in the game.
No, you could have done that. I had no problem. Yeah. Just do your task. That's all I was asking.
The game is just doesn't work.
As soon as I had stuff chopped up, I see Wombat running behind me for some reason, just going to get stuff.
Gets in the way too. You can't walk.
He's just
through
grabbing random ingredients out of the boxes.
That's like, they're not all chopped true. Up.
No, you were running behind.
He's not an overcooked expert. No, he's a noob.
Yeah. We're not going to play then.
We did much better after you left, though.
That doesn't surprise me.
We did.
That game is zero. There is no fun in that game at all. There's not even like a feeling of satisfaction you get 3 stars. Like, oh, we got 3 stars. Because we got 3 stars on the 3 missions we did.
There was no satisfaction because you didn't do anything.
I did plenty. I'm like, this is just something we did.
I think you should buy the game.
No.
We can play it online. We can play it online after you practice.
And it'll be fun. We could live stream it.
I'm going to pass. Did you see they added...
I could yell at you online.
They added Doom to Game Pass on Xbox today.
I did see that.
Yeah.
That was a good change of subject.
I know.
Yeah, I know. I want to yell at you more. Let's talk about how you're bad at games more.
I'm bad at Doom, but now I can play that whenever I want because I have Game Pass. Yeah. So, yeah. RetroCon, retro games. Although it's not original Doom.
I think it's time. Are we at the CAG bag?
Yeah, I think so.
So we have. If anybody's got a question for us, we got a microphone that can go around to get you. And also, we've got Max from Harry's somewhere, and we've got little gifts for people who ask questions. The sooner you ask your question, the better gift you might get. There's a guy right here, I think.
Oh, okay.
Sorry to make you walk up the stairs.
Do you want me to be the runner? I can be the runner.
Any of our kids here? They can hold things and walk. I don't blame him.
All right.
Okay.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Sure.
So I heard you earlier talking about the future of no physical media with games. How soon do you think or do you think we'll be at a games as a service only platform where you don't really own any games, but you're merely renting a pass to play what a publisher has?
I think Microsoft's dipping their toe in that now with Game Pass. But, you know, and also there's EA Access. So there are services like that already, and I know that the PlayStation 1, which is streaming. I like the Microsoft download because then you don't have to worry about streaming and streaming quality. But
They want your $60.
They want your $60. I mean, yeah, there's definitely benefits there for the consumer and for the console maker. If they know they're going to get your $10 a month or even $15 a month, then there's something for them. That's money they can count on to keep their infrastructure alive and well. Mm-hmm. And if it keeps me from having to go out and buy games all the time, I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's actually one of the reasons why when people ask me which console they should get, I've been leaning lately towards the Xbox because of Game Pass, especially for people that have families and want a lot of games, because there's 100 games you could download on the day you own your console. It's not a bad proposition.
Would you miss physical media personally?
No.
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 I don't sell back my stuff anymore.
Shipwreck would.
I don't buy a lot of physical.
I like physical media, but I like it for the stuff that had it to begin with, I guess. Like, so if it went away, I wouldn't miss not having it. Like, I bought Dead Cells digitally.
Shipwreck has a Blockbuster video in his basement, so he really doesn't need any more physical media.
Right, I'm kind
of
good.
Well, is it kind of like a record album sort of thing? Like, you know, back in the day with vinyl, those vinyl cases were so cool. The sleeve and the artwork, and there was a lot going on. And in the early NES days, even in the early Atari games, the box art was so cool. Now, is box art even a thing? Like, when you're looking at a game for the PlayStation 4, are you looking at the box
only
art
to make fun of it
for your collection, or is it more like CDs, where it kind of just was a dying art form?
It's not so much I think I appreciate the box art after time, like just because it's nostalgia. But I think a lot of it is just the feeling that I own something, like it has value after that. I think that's the main draw of it.
I'm lazy. I just like to push the button and have the game go on.
I'm a lazy guy.
Yeah.
Anytime. Who's next?
Hello. Oh, wait, now we have like a microphone set up over here. All right.
Hi, guys.
Oh, we're here.
Oh, no,
okay.
We're over here. that was
so many microphones.
Fake out.
Yeah. We're everywhere.
Okay.
So quick question. If any of you were in charge of Nintendo, how would you change it and make it better?
We've actually had a lot of ideas. I don't know if it's going to make it better.
We've only got 15 minutes to answer this question.
one of the things that I always say, I'm going to say it again. I think that Nintendo missed a big opportunity by not going after educational software, especially with the Switch, because they've got all the characters, the cute characters, that you can easily fit into like math games or phonics games. Nintendo loves to make, I don't want to say like whatever the opposite of a trip. They like to not spend money on software development. So these games are cheap. Parents would feel good about buying them for their kids. I think it's sort of a missed opportunity for them. I know like most of us don't care about playing educational games, but I think that's something that just makes a lot of sense and that they.
Oh, no, I think you'd wind up with like a U-Draw situation and then you have a whole company.
But software, cheap to make a math game. Mario math. Exactly.
Yes, and the Donkey Kong Jr. math.
You charge like, you know, you can charge like more than they're worth because it's Nintendo and they have, the characters in it. And that's, look, they put out a box of cardboard for $70.
I know. And I see a lot of them in the store.
And, you know, I bought that for Ty and he didn't really care for it.
It looks complicated.
But think about it. It fits their MO. I'm just surprised that they didn't do it.
Shipwreck Fizeme, what do you think?
I just wish they would modernize a little bit. Not to get to the same level of like Xbox and PS4 graphically and hardware-wise, but just the services part is they're leaving so much money on the table with the online and not putting their back catalog out. They just hold back way too much. They're trying to take the Disney approach, but it's not the right volume for it because they have so much more back catalog that they could just constantly be hitting us in the face with.
They're very risk averse. They just don't want to.
There's not that much risk in it, though, really.
Do you think games as a service for Nintendo for the back catalog?
Yes.
I mean, that's the way to go. I obviously agree with you. I'm just asking because.
You could pay $10 a month and have access to like a vast catalog of Nintendo games.
If they did this. I mean, if they did something like that, it would have to be Switch only, not on the DS. Although I probably would prefer it on
the
DS.
They can do whatever they want.
Well, I mean, that's sort of the other thing that's the thing I've always complained about with Nintendo is that Nintendo has never really competed with Xbox and PlayStation. It's its own thing. Nintendo has always competed with Nintendo. If they release two Mario games a year and you're only going to buy one Mario game, and you have a DS already, why buy a new console to play to scratch that Mario itch? And they've sort of competed with, I think you really saw that with the Wii U. I think they really competed with themselves in the Wii U era. They've done a much better job with the Switch by not releasing a brand new.
The Switch is just a Wii U that they made.
Well, the Switch is a better version of the Wii U that's also a handheld.
They made the correct the Switch
the second
is
time
Wii,
was the charm.
Wii U 2.0.
Yeah, and I'd be interested to see how long it finally takes them to be a one console company where they can start focusing on that and releasing all of their games for one console. Because right now you're looking at a really big drought on the Switch when it comes to these first party games. You have Smash Brothers coming up this year, and you saw after their E3 presentation where all they showed was Smash Brothers, their stock took a pretty decent dive. They don't have anything else because they're focusing still on other things. Things like Labo, which isn't and they need to
– They saw an opportunity to put out a bunch of cardboard for
There $70. Should be – I mean, if there need there needs to be a Mario game every year, whether it be an Odyssey-style game or a new Super Mario Brothers style game. If they were to alternate that every year and you knew you were either getting a really cool 2D game or a really cool 3D Mario game, different types of – you know, a Legend of Zelda game where the ones that they made for the DS are amazing. But that style of game would still work on the Switch, and you alternate every other year with a different style of game, and they need to have a marquee game that comes out at least once a quarter. And I don't think they've really been pulling that off.
Too expensive.
Is it, though, if that's all you
it's
have?
Too cheap, it is. If you don't want to spend money, it is.
Yeah. I think that's
let's take some,
that's my
another
answer.
Question. I mean, check out these guys' shirts. I don't know if you've noticed their shirts. So
nice. I like your White Magic shirts.
Wombat, we have one for you as well. So.
Awesome.
We know you like free shirts.
I do.
The question is more current where we are. Did you guys get to spend any time on the show floor, and did you pick anything up, especially Shipwreck, because he's more of a collector?
We've only been here about an hour before we did the show, so I browsed, but I was also carrying around a four-year-old, so I'm looking forward to going back out there and doing some damage after this. Did you pick up anything?
Yes.
Was it hentai related or what? That was a very like conscious yes.
I'm not sure we're going to have gas money to get home now.
Oh, nice.
And did you end up doing the party last night?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was great.
It was fun.
Retro and chill. This is a great event, and it makes me so happy. Like, I'm a Long Islander, and we've got this great event here involving video games. It makes me
really
happy.
A lot of bromance duets.
Yes. I love it.
We had a good time.
Last year, I bought a bunch of stuff last year. I bought Square Painter stuff. And
I'm on the hunt for a copy of Popeye for the Nintendo Entertainment System. I will leave with a copy of Popeye for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
It's out there.
I know. I saw it. I just need to go get it.
Cool. Great. Thanks. Any other questions?
Nope.
All right. We got.
I have
the. Want to come up to the mic here? If you're
I
here,
have it.
Oh, does it work?
The mic. Oh,
I
can't okay. See. So, okay. In my opinion, when it comes to Nintendo, the library itself is very like family friendly, family oriented. But now with Xbox and the Nintendo crossover, and you see Nintendo adding in more of like the first person shooter and story games like that, do you think they're trying to tap into the market more for like older young adults and more of the older
I think it's a big advantage to be able to have these big AAA games on your console like Call of Duty or Grand Theft Auto, because those companies spend so much money advertising their games. And if you don't have that on your console, what are you doing? Are you holding up my magic? And if you don't have those games on your system, that's millions and millions of marketing dollars that you're not taking advantage of. So sure, you want to appeal to a wide audience, but really – oh, he's putting it on now. You really want to be able
really
to have those games on your system just to get the word out that your system is there, you know, and that you have the latest and greatest games.
But don't you feel like it's moving away from their family-oriented idea that
not if those games are still there. I mean, it's really the balance, and I think that's actually something that – Microsoft and Sony have both done really good jobs on themselves. There are some really good family-friendly games, you know, they're third-party games, but they're also now on the Switch. But, you know, games like those Lego Marvel games and the Lego Batman games, a parent who already owns or might be more interested in a Microsoft or a PlayStation console may not necessarily buy that Nintendo console if they know that they can appease their children with a Lego game. Or, you know, Disney Infinity at its peak, or Skylanders at its peak, or, you know, something else, or Super Lucky's Tale, or even the Spider-Man game that's coming out. Something like that is a deterrent from buying that extra console. So I think Nintendo also in its own way needs to have both. They can say, yeah, you want to play Doom, you can play Doom on our console, and you can play it on your commute to work.
Choice is good.
Yeah.
I don't think nobody's going to not buy a Switch because they have adult games.
Right. And they're... their strategy has kind of remained the same on the adult games for a while, because they would always have like their Turok on N64, which was super violent back in the day. They would always like GoldenEye. I mean, that's
Conquer.
Conquer. Like they dabble in that area just enough to keep people interested, I think.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay.
Can I just say, by the way, I want to say to you, the three of you, thank you for doing the podcast, because it honestly, there are a lot of times that I'm going through a tough time that I listen to that podcast, and it's a must listen to. And I love your Twitter feeds. So again, I appreciate you being very, very active with that. I wish that I had a Target in Cincinnati like you do, that always seems to have the NCAP greatest sales ever. So I just wanted to say that. And one final comment. The guy that runs the Twitter feed for Cheap Ass Gamer.
Yes, Thorbon.
Is awesome.
So okay, I will let him know.
So just tell him that. But I just want to say we're big fans of that. Thank you for just – I know it's not easy to keep the commitment of doing a podcast every single week. And thanks. I just want you to know that I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Hi.
Hello. Okay, I have a Mission Impossible-based question.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
If we choose to accept it?
Okay. Yeah. So you were saying how you like the movie and how it's action-packed.
Yes.
But do you feel like they're recycling their old movies and making Tom Cruise the bad guy and kind of becoming the same movie in a way as the other ones?
They do. Isn't it? It does seem like the plot of these movies often revolves around the fact that they think Tom Cruise is the bad guy. Yeah. Right? It does seem – I mean – I can't remember any of the previous plots from the Mission Impossible films.
It's basically what you just said.
It's probably all just that. So it doesn't really matter, though. At the end of the day, it's still surprisingly hard to put out a movie filled with good like stunts and action sequences. Usually, like something is wrong. Either the fighting doesn't look good, like the cuts
are too big. Do they blow up an aquarium? I find that those movies.
The fight scene in the bathroom in that movie with.
Crazy.
Was maybe the best fight scene I've ever seen. I winced like visibly when the people started flying through the sinks.
Does it make you feel bad that he didn't get a good Superman movie to be in?
No. he was very good at that movie.
Okay. All right.
Thank you for answering my question.
Thanks. Hello.
Hi, guys. I'm an exterminator. I drive most of the day, and okay. You guys help keep me sane.
Awesome.
Oh, I thought he was here.
I thought we were dead.
I was like, okay. I'm the exterminator. You guys had a good run.
Yeah. Yeah, so guys have any new poop stories?
Poop stories?
Anything? I got nothing.
I take Metamucil like 3 times a day. So things pretty much flowing good down there.
I was going to say I'm like on 2 weeks of Nutrisystem now.
So there's no poop.
It's like nothing.
It's dust.
It's just and I'm like, hey, I guess it's something happened.
Yeah. You know, once you like almost pass out from pooping or twice, 2 or 3 times, you really look at getting more fiber in your diet. It's the very good motivator for that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, how's it going? So I'm a big fan of retro games, I guess, explaining why I'm here today and also to see you guys. And I do, a fair bit of stuff on. I have a retro pie and I enjoy playing old games on that. And this may be more of a shipwreck question. I know you own a lot of original hardware and I just kind of wanted to get your take on, is it a superior option? Is it worth like the investment of, buying all the original hardware and all those, HDMI upscalers and all that stuff? And
so if you have the room and the means to do it, it is better. You can tell the difference between playing on original hardware versus like a RetroPie, which I have a RetroPie and I enjoy playing on it as well. But there's just something off with the emulators. It's not as fluid. It feels.
So if you were a college professor trying to teach your children.
Right. I would go get them the actual stuff. But not everybody can get the. Go find this stuff. I mean, and it's all deteriorating.
He went through. You don't understand. He went through a huge effort to get all this stuff going. Like it's crazy the setup he's got there, and it had to be done with like a complete in conjunction with like a basement renovation. Because
that was
where you're gonna put 30 machines and have them all hooked up to the same thing,
right? So, but if you have like a favorite like console, I would suggest go getting that one. Modded and ready for HDMI.
You don't need 30. You don't need to start with 30.
You can start. I started with 30,
right.
But I would just suggest going for one of them, maybe. And it does play a lot better.
What would you suggest that one be?
I don't know what his favorite console is.
I've seen the NES. They have that AVS, I guess, which is like a true, like you can actually
sure
put a card and is that
yeah
like,
they have that out here, I think.
Yeah, do you own that or
I don't own that because I already had RGB modded my NES. But I've heard great things about that one. Everybody cool. seems happy with that.
Very cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you for coming here.
Sure.
First of all, I'd like to say I was fascinated by Shipwreck's process and renovating his basement and creating his arcade. Well, is a library basically.
It's on YouTube if you want to.
Yes.
Check okay. it out.
Anyway, while I was on train ride here, I was listening to a podcast, Friendly Fire, about war movies, and this week's episode was about The Enemy Below, starring Kurt Jurgens and Robert Mitchum. And my question is, what are your favorite war movies? And do you have any favorite adaptations of those movies, or would you like to see a movie adapted into a video game? So it's well.
That's a good question. Okay, my favorite war movie. I have one. I had one.
I'm curious.
Is Doctor Strangelove?
That's a good war. It counts.
It's hilarious and sad and scary at the same time. That's definitely my favorite one.
I'm still thinking because there's a lot of good war movies. Even like in Cheapy's vein of like, if you want to go lighter, MASH is a really good war movie. Robert Altman's MASH. I know last week we talked about Popeye, so now we're going.
Wait, that's a war movie?
Wow, we really.
No, I'm saying it's a Robert Altman. It's Robert Altman.
Popeye was he's a sailor. That was gonna be my pick.
He's in the Navy. I was going with a Robert Altman tie-in, but. But MASH is really good. I mean, even
Platoon.
Ones in Platoon, Full Metal Jacket on more Kubrick for you.
Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now is so good.
That was going to be my pick.
Yeah, did they make that into a video game? Or, no.
Did they? No, there's
they,
a,
yeah,
no,
they Kickstarter. Did. They did Kickstarter. I thought there was an Apocalypse Now game on Xbox.
Was there? I know there's a
but
Full
there was
Metal
a Kickstarter
Jacket game.
For
no, not Full Metal Jacket. Platoon. There's Platoon on the NES. Oh, I'm tapping again. Platoon on the NES. Commando. Does that count as a war movie? There's a game. I was thinking game.
I like Deer Hunter.
I like the Commando as well.
Yeah, that's a good movie too.
But as far as what was it?
Saving Private Ryan.
Making a game out of one of these?
Yeah.
Saving Private Ryan. The game.
I feel like we've played.
I don't think
did
they
we
would
play
make
that
good,
a bunch?
Good games.
Yeah, that's. I mean, there's a lot of all of the Call of Duty games.
Call of Duty kind of just.
Ran with it.
Yeah. When we had all of those competing franchises at once, I got a little worried out.
Wonder Woman? Yeah. Does that count as a war movie?
Sure.
Kind of.
It's World War I. Captain America, the First Avenger? It's a pretty good World War II movie. It does count.
Does that answer your question?
Kind of.
Still there? I can't see.
Oh, he's back over here. Wow.
Who's next?
Hey.
We have time still? Okay, last one.
Last question. Thanks so much for putting
it's
out your
better
podcast.
Be worth
it's
it.
A lot of fun.
Thank Ryan. It's all
you
him.
Guys were at E3, and yep. several companies talked about streaming their games to every device.
Yep.
So when do you think – did you guys – two questions. Did you see an example of that? And then when will we see, for example, Madden streaming to our iPads or phones?
So we didn't see any streaming examples.
Not this year.
Not this year. Past, but yeah. even seeing it at a show is sort of meaningless because it's a you know,
you can't tell if they're just running it off a machine
you
right
don't know.
There. Yeah.
It's the problem is what we talked about earlier. Forget about okay. So we talked about downloading games in the middle of the country. That's one thing, but streaming them, that's a whole nother level of bandwidth that you need. And a big part of the country definitely does not have that now. But it's probably
every streaming service I've tried has not been satisfactory to me.
Shipwreck told me in 10 years it's all going to be perfect.
No, that was
no,
that
no,
was
no,
a different
no,
question.
That's different.
This one will be maybe
15.
It depends where you live. The answer is it's going to depend where you live. If you live where you have good internet, you can do it. If not, you're screwed. All right. I think that's it. Let's thank everybody for coming today. Round of applause. Round of applause for Ryan and Long Island Retro. This is so awesome. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next year.
Fred's done.